Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined on the phone by Jeffrey Haley, senior analyst from OANDA. On a day when the SDI is up 0.5% to 3,139 points. Now, that was on the back of the good news that Singapore got today. Gross domestic product grew 1.3% in Q1, outperforming advance estimates of 0.2% growth. The country has also raised its full-year trade outlook for 2021, and that's good. Non-oil domestic exports are projected to grow by 1% to 3% year-on-year, that according to trade agency Enterprise Singapore today. We bring Jeff into the conversation. That sounds pretty good.
That does sound pretty good. I think this is going to be a good interview because all the electricity has just come back on in the house in Jakarta just as you came on. So it's a sign.
It's a sign. Now all your screens are back up. You know what you're looking at.
Exactly.
And we're in the green here in Singapore on the SDI. We started in the green. We're staying in the green going into the afternoon session. And with news like this, I'm going to assume that for the rest of the afternoon session, the sentiment's going to be pretty happy.
Yes. Look, last night, Wall Street had a very, very strong session. They decided that inflation wasn't a big issue. And we had a procession of Federal Reserve officials saying that they thought that it would be transitory. That green-lighted the markets there to basically buy equities and other risk-facing assets such as energy and commodities. That's flowed over into Asia today, and we've seen Singapore amongst most of Asia rise today. China's certainly outperforming today, but the data underlying the Singapore GDP was fairly positive. Obviously, the construction sector remains under pressure for quite obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But elsewhere, manufacturing, particularly the high value added manufacturing, electronics, engineering, chemicals and biomedicals are all outperformed, and I think that bodes well for the rest of the year. These are the sectors that have done very well during the pandemic, and these are the sectors of the future for Singapore, and they're showing a healthy return to rising our output. So assuming that this lockdown, or not lockdown that you're calling it at the moment in Singapore,
heightened alert,
that's it. The circuit breaker, not circuit breaker, doesn't continue on for a long time, say 2 or 3 months, then I think Singapore is on track for a good second half of the year.
All right, now let's take a closer look at those manufacturing stocks going into the afternoon session. Do you think they're going to continue to feel the love and an uptick for the rest of the day?
Yes, definitely. I think it's all being led by Wall Street at the moment, and we're seeing that right across Asia, and I expect that to flow through into Singapore as well. Singapore's market's actually held up quite well lately, even when other markets have fallen, and I believe that Singapore is a great global recovery play because it's a very cyclical market. It's full of industries that do well and expanding when the global economy expands. That's sort of Singapore's mantra as a trading port. So, it's not so heavy in technology and these darlings of 2020. It's much more facing the real economy that we all exist in our daily lives. And I think Singapore is well placed to have a very good half year in that respect. And I think that will flow through to the equity market there.
The other thing that saw a love today were banking stocks from the early morning trading. And still now, right now, in fact, OCBC Bank star performer with value turnover.
Yeah, I think the bank's profitability has rebounded sharply, and we've seen that with all the big banks in Singapore. And that's been led by the fact that the rebound in economic activity and the fiscal stimulus that the government put in across the pandemic has meant that their bad debt provisionings were much higher than needed to be. So their bad loans have come in much, much lower than, say, previous recessions, and that's flowed straight through to the bottom line. They're all very, very digitally facing as well, and I think is a great story for the future. So very well capitalized banks, sitting in the middle of Asia, which will probably outperform in the second half of the year. It's a pretty good story. It's hard not to like it.
Okay, maybe you can explain this to me because, I mean, from my small little brain, I'm thinking heightened alert. People are told to stay home as much as possible. And, you know, retail sector is suffering right now. So why is Genting Singapore's stock doing so well?
Recovery plays, I believe, and people are looking for value. It's actually really hard to find a recovery play that hasn't recovered on the stock market in anticipation of the recovery, if that makes sense. Yeah. So probably with the exception of someone like Singapore Airlines, you can see all of these very these companies and sectors that are facing the discretionary economy, i.e. the return of movement and travel and tourism, they've actually moved higher in anticipation of better results in the future. So I believe that's another factor that's underlying these things. But I do believe that a lot of these discretionary sectors, tourism shops, you know, taxis, these sorts of things that have a very strong beta to these sectors, to the direction of the recovery, they're actually quite richly priced at the moment.
Okay, now I'm also looking at some of the top performers for the day, those in the green, and a lot of them are REITs. Now, a lot of them are REITs that own shopping malls and hospitality, and yet they're in the green. Again, this confuses me.
I believe part of this reason is because if the lockdown that's not a lockdown is extended, then the belief is that there will be more government support for these sectors to help the businesses through this period of time. But also I believe the current feeling in Singapore is that this is going to last a month. And, you know, we'll be moving back to what was approaching business as normal after that. So I think to really knock these REITs off their purchases at the moment, these perches, as in a perch that a bird sits on, to knock them off those would probably require an extended period of these movement restrictions in Singapore. We're talking 3 or 4 months. I personally don't see it myself, so I think that is reflected in the evaluations at the moment. And, of course, they have a very high beta to a recovering economy, so that's why the money's flowing there at the moment.
I almost felt like I needed to insert a pronunciation disclaimer there because you're from New Zealand.
Yeah, I can imagine my thick Kiwi accent must confuse some listeners, but I'm trying my very best.
You're doing very well. I understand you perfectly, and I'm sure all our listeners can as well. Now, again, we're talking about heightened alert. People are told to stay at home as much as possible. Work from home is a default. Our kids are home from school. I would have thought, and this is, again, my small little brain, I would have thought stocks like Top Glove and Metex International would be soaring. But today, they're in the red.
Yeah, look, Malaysia itself is generally in the red. Now, the glove sector, amongst some other areas of the Malaysian manufacturing economy, have been under the spotlight for labour practices, and that has been capping their gains. You had threats of bans from the US and from the European Union, and that's been acting as a bit of a dark cloud over those sectors. But when you look at Malaysia, I'm actually more concerned about Malaysia than I am Singapore. Mm-hmm. The COVID-19 cases are exploding there. They don't look like they're coming down. They have brought in more working from home or movement restrictions, so the government servants are all working from home. But the government there seems to be trying to do this, have their cake and eat it approach, which has failed everywhere else, which is where you try and keep huge amounts of the economy open, but at the same time try and bring in restrictions to stop people moving around. It hasn't worked anywhere else in the world. And I think that you usually just end up with a new wave of COVID-19, which leads to a lockdown in the end anyway. So it's quite a weak government over there. It doesn't have a strong mandate in parliament. And we know that parliament was suspended for 6 months while they worked through this pandemic. That means that are people going to do what they're told when they're told to do it? It's not really quite the same thing at the moment. And I believe that political uncertainty, weakness, and this half-hearted attempt to control those cases and the rising amount of COVID-19 cases in Malaysia, that's what's holding back the Malaysian markets. And I think until we see an improvement in those COVID-19 totals, that's going to be the way of it.
Right, OK. Now, you know us here in Singapore, we like our property plays, we like our REITs. So I suppose the question is, despite the heightened restrictions, are we looking at the REITs continuing to get some love for the rest of the week?
I believe so. I mean, at the end of the day, we're living in a 0% world. By that, I mean that the central banks of the world have flooded the global financial system with 0% money through quantitative easing. That's led to distorted investment decisions, yeah? And we've seen asset price inflation going across property markets. We've seen it going across equity markets, et cetera, all over the world, not just Singapore. And that money is looking for a return in a 0% world, and it's inevitably going to move into these areas, you know, commercial and residential property. And so I believe that that will continue because the central banks aren't going to take this, they're not going to turn off the monetary taps anytime soon.
All right. Now, we're going to be talking to you again on Thursday with a broader view of what is going on in the region. Now, today, the region looks pretty buoyed as well. Is that correct? Still the case?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, China is outperforming today compared to the rest of Asia. Now, the rest of Asia and Australia and Australasia, their markets are all green as well. That's following on from that inflationary sentiment. That's not inflation that we saw coming out of Wall Street overnight. But we saw Morgan Stanley put out a positive report on China equities for second half of the year. There's rumours that the People's Bank of China are capping the rise of the yuan at these levels. It's risen to two-year highs overnight. And also there were more officials coming out threatening action against volatility in commodity markets as well. All of those factors, I think, have combined to give mainland China stocks very strong tailwind today. So they're definitely outperforming.
All right. So we're going to take another closer, much, much closer look at that on Thursday when Jeffrey Haley, senior analyst from Oanda, joins us for Market View. Jeff, thanks very much. Your accent didn't bother me at all. I understood everything you said and maybe even learnt a couple of things today.
Well, that's my job there is done, and hopefully I'll have electricity on Thursday. I'm quite excited by that thought.
My fingers are crossed. This has been Markets View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. News coming up next.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.